Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. The 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, page 1216 in your Scofield Bible. We'll read responsively verses 9 through 12. Then we have one other verse of Scripture to turn to, which is nearby. And we'll turn to that after reading this passage. As we always do, may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Turn now to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, just a few pages over. The 10th chapter, and we'll read together the 23rd verse. All right, ready? Let's read it. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And let's pray. Father, bless, we pray, in some very special way, this service. Thank you so much. We were able to come tonight and give us that help which we require. A lot of things probably need fixing. Now help our preacher that all that ought to be fixed will be fixed. And that we would certainly have our minds and hearts in the kind of attitude that would help us to be fixable. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tonight on the subject, the most misunderstood verse in the Bible, or it may be the most misunderstood statement in the Bible. I read for you without your turning to it, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Notice twice there you have the statement made, all things are lawful for me. I read again. All things are lawful for me, but all things not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now, four times in these two passages, you find the same statement made, all things are lawful for me. That probably is the most misunderstood statement in the entire Bible, and I want to teach you tonight and preach to you about what it means. There's a pseudo-fundamentalism that's being spread around America that makes anybody who has any standards a legalist. I pick up sometimes magazines by self-styled fundamentalist people who have an article saying that if you have standards, you're legalist. Now, of course, these same people, though they wouldn't have the standards we'd have in every case, they don't believe in homosexuality, so I guess they're legalists also. They don't believe in fornication, so I guess they're legalists also. A legalist is somebody that has a conviction that's stronger than mine in their minds. All you got to do is if somebody else has some convictions they don't have, then those convictions are legalism. The truth is, legalism has nothing in the world to do with convictions or standards. Legalism is adding something to the plan of salvation. Believing that men ought to get haircuts is not legalism. Believing that ladies ought to wear skirts is not legalism. Believing that young people ought to say yes, sir, no, sir, and obey is not legalism. Believing that deacons ought not smoke or drink is not legalism. Believing that Sunday school teachers ought not smoke or drink is not legalism. Legalism is saying that you get saved by faith plus baptism. Legalism is saying you get saved by faith plus communion. Legalism is saying you get saved by faith, are you listening? By faith plus good works. Legalism has nothing to do, not one shred to do, with standards. There's nothing that pleases the devil any more than for us to attribute legalism to the dear old dad that takes his boy to the barber shop. And nothing that pleases the devil any more than for us to attribute legalism to the dear mother that expects her daughter to dress like a woman or lady ought to dress. There's nothing to please the devil anymore than for us to associate the term legalism with our standards and with our principles and our convictions and so forth. I'll tell you something, folks, and I'm not to the sermon yet, but I'll tell you something. Did you know you'll have to go a long ways in the Bible before you'll find the plan of salvation mentioned clearly? I dare you to open the book of Genesis and show me the plan of salvation in Genesis. I dare you to show me the plan of salvation in Exodus. You can show me types of salvation and symbols of salvation, but you just take a lost sinner and open the Bible to Exodus, and I dare you to find the plan of salvation. After you finish that, try to find the plan of salvation in Leviticus. And then going down to Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges and Ruth and Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. I know all the books of the Bible. I dare you. The truth is, in not many of the books of the Bible is the plan of salvation mentioned. But in every book of the Bible, I'm sure, if not every book, nearly every book, standards are mentioned. How the Christian ought to live is mentioned. And I'll live and die by it. I've come too far to turn back now. I'll live and die by it. I still think that Christians ought to sing like Christians and talk like Christians, and I've never gotten the place yet where I can turn on a television set and watch the Johnny Carson show with just different actors and the same, they call it PTL Club or 700 Club, and they look the same, the melody's the same. And a Hollywood movie star stands up and tells, how I thank God that no longer do you have to quit Hollywood if you're a Christian. No, you don't have to quit Hollywood if you're a Christian, but you have to quit Hollywood if you're a good Christian. No standards, and even laugh at standards. They say, God looks on the heart, and God's only concerned about the heart. Well, God sure wasted his time when he wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians on how man ought to wear his hair then. And God sure wasted his time and told a lady how to wear her hair. And if God's not concerned about the outside, why did God tell us how to dress? Why did God tell Timothy to tell a woman to dress in modest apparel if God's not concerned about the outside? God is concerned about the outside. Whoever told you wasn't got a hole in his head and is selling you a wooden nickel and leads you astray and don't you believe him. It's nothing more than the devil's attempt to water down fundamentalism with a good Lord, good devil, good cancer, good health, good sickness, good rattlesnake, and a good communism, no right, no wrong, no black, no white, no good, no bad. Everything is relative. So they use this passage. All things are lawful. They use this passage, but they don't study this passage. For if they studied this passage, they would never use it again to try to make light. And they even make fun of those of us. They call Howells Anderson fellas the haircuts we have. They call them white sidewall haircuts and so forth. And they got a white sidewall haircut. Well, do they have a white sidewall and then have an excess of rubber hanging down all over it? You might have. I'm saying that I don't believe in standards. Well, God does. You get in tune with God, then you'll believe in them too. Much of the Bible has to do with standards. And what was wrong in 1900? This is a new generation. Maybe a new generation. It's a rotten generation, too. And it's going to the devil because there's no black, no white, no right, no wrong. Everything's a cloudy gray. And our country's going to the devil because of that. And oh, how we love to hide behind such passages. All things are lawful. That same crowd, though, they say, no standards, no standards. But they have standards, too. They just don't have them as strict as we do. And so I want to talk to you tonight on most misunderstood statement or passage in the Bible. Father, bless us now as we enter into the teaching and the preaching of this passage of Scripture, and give us the clear meaning and then willingness to obey once we see. In Jesus' name, amen. The Greeks had an idea that man was free from all restraint. They called it, this philosophy, man is the measure of all things. That's what they called it. They felt that man was free from all restraint. Now, Paul uses good psychology and quotes four times in refuting this doctrine. I want you to look. People say, oh, Paul said, all things are lawful. I see. You might find, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You might find all the things he scolded the church in Corinth about in 1 Corinthians. You look and see how Paul scolded the church in Corinth because they dipped their sails and their convictions weren't what they used to be. So Paul says, okay, all them are lawful, and then what? Now let me say what the word lawful means. That word lawful means it's a term that has to do with being on a public highway, and everything is available for you alongside the highway. All things are lawful. Let me paraphrase it. All things are available to me. All things are available. For example, I'm on a highway, and the highway is the highway of life, and I'm marching down life's highway. Now, all the things of life are on either side of the highway, and all things are available. Now, as I journey, I am not shut away from any of them. I can take them if I want to. I can lie down in the middle of the road if I want to. I can play with a snake beside the road if I want to. It's lawful for me. It's available for me. It's there for me. It is there. I can do it if I want to. That's what he's saying. If you want to get a gun, shoot yourself in the head and commit suicide, you can do it. Nobody's going to stop you, so it's lawful if you want to do it. Now, if you do it, you're going to be in trouble. You wouldn't want to commit suicide every Monday morning. Might make a habit out of it. I'm saying that what Paul is saying here, he's saying that everything's available. We're on the highway, and beside the highway, everything of life is available to us. And if I want to, I can put nails in the road. If I want to, I can block traffic. It's available to me. If I want to, I can run into the ditch. It's available to me. If I want to, I can drive head on into another car. It's available to me. If I want to, I can love or hate. I have a will, and this is what it's saying. It is saying, I have a will, I'm a free moral agent, and God has made everything available to me, and I have a right to choose. Now, it may be I choose wrong, but I have a right to choose wrong. That's what God said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but he said, don't eat of this one. But he said, you can eat of that one if you want to. It's there, and he did not block them eating. He told them not to, but he said, it's there. And so he said, you can eat it if you want to eat it. You're a free moral agent. And God is saying here, I have a will, I'm a free moral agent, I can love or I can hate. I can bless or I can curse. I can share or I can steal. I can help or I can hurt. I can do good or I can do evil. I can be honest or I can cheat. He says all things are mine. That means all music is mine. If I want to play good music, I can play good music. If I want to play bad music, I can play bad music. If I want to listen to good music, I can listen to good music. If I want to listen to bad music, I can listen to bad music. All art is mine. All literature is mine. All philosophies are mine. All science is mine. All words are mine. All beverages are mine. I can live or die. I can kill or let live. I can build or destroy. It's up to me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God never one time had in mind that it's okay to kill if you want to kill, and that doesn't displease God. Pray tell me, what are the Ten Commandments all about if all things are lawful in that sense? God is not saying, I don't mind what you do. You dress like you want to dress. You sing like you want to sing. You live like you want to live. You go where you want to go. You wear your hair like you want to. God's not saying that. God is saying, here is right, here is wrong, and both are lawful. You can do wrong if you choose. You can do right if you choose. You can go left if you choose. You can go right if you choose. God is saying, all things are lawful. Now, I am on the highway, and everything is beside the road. As I journey toward eternity through life, everything is beside the road. And all things are available for me. Now, some misguided souls
to them, this means nothing is wrong. And that is not right. There are things that are wrong. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Flee youthful lust. It says, thou shalt not steal. It says, present your body as a living sacrifice. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Bible gives us instructions as to what we have access to that's good for us and what is bad for us that we have access to. But when God says all things are lawful, God's not saying all things are right. God is not saying nothing is sinful. God simply says, if you want to break your fool neck, go ahead and do it. You got a right to do it if you want to. If you want to die and go to hell and burn forever, if you want to do that, you've got a perfect right to. It's lawful. It's legal. You can go to hell if you want to. If you want to get drunk and get in a car and kill your children and kill yourself and kill your wife, you do it if you want to. God says you're a free moral agent. And all in the world God is saying here, when he says all things are lawful, is that all things are available to man, and man is a free moral agent. Let me tell you something, folks. This whole thing that God controls the will of man is garbage. God doesn't do that. God gives you a will, and God will not force himself on you. You have a right to go to hell or go to heaven. If you go to hell, it'll be your own choice. It won't be because God made you go to hell. It won't be because God chose you to go to hell. It won't be because God wanted you to go to hell. It won't be because God didn't give you a clear presentation of salvation's plan. If you die and go to hell, you'll go to hell on your own because you choose to go to hell. Hell was not made for you. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But God Almighty said, if you want to plunge your soul toward hell, you just go right ahead, Buster. It's your privilege if you want to. And if you want to drink yourself drunk and act like a fool and an idiot and take your dope and get high on dope and sell your purity and decency and future and wreck your children and ruin your life and destroy everything that's decent, God says you go ahead. I'm not going to keep you from it. It's all available to you. Now then, God turns around and sets bounds on our liberty in this very passage. What he does is this. God gives us three things that advises us what we're to do. Of all these things, here is, can you imagine, all things, all food, all drink, all philosophy, all art, all literature, all things, everything is right here. Now, God says you can take anything you want to take. Now, he said you may suffer the consequences, but he said, let me advise you what you ought to take and what you ought not to take. And what God does is, are you listening? God draws a circle around all the things that are best to take. And God says, though everything is yours to take, if you want to take it, he's saying, let me tell you what you ought to take and what you ought not to take. I preached a sermon here a couple of years ago, and I've used it some across the country. I think it's a very vital sermon. The psalmist said, I will walk in liberty because I keep thy commandments. I will walk in liberty because I keep thy commandments. Didn't say I'll walk in liberty if I don't have to keep the commandments. Now the liberal says that I'll be free. I don't have any commandments. I'll be free. No, you won't. If you break the shackles of the commandments of God, you will not be free. You will be a slave. And God said, by the way, the symbol here, and I'm being repetitious now just for about 5 minutes, because it's part of this sermon. The symbol here is this. I will walk at liberty if I stay inside the walls of thy commandments. Let's suppose tonight, okay, the eastern cities, old cities, had walls around them. At this time, the cities had walls. Now, they had watchmen that walked on the top of those walls. And looked out for the enemy. Now, if the enemy came to attack the city, where is the liberty? Outside the walls of the city or inside the wall? You tell me. Let's suppose tonight that we are a city, and I'm the mayor, we'll say, and we have walls here. Now, and the enemy comes to attack us. And now, where is our safety? To stay inside the wall or go outside the wall? Where is our freedom? Inside the wall or outside the wall? Now, God has said, I am building you a set of commandments, standards, rules, wrongs, and I'm making each of these a stone in the wall. And I'm building that wall around you to deprive you of liberty? No. I am building you an area of liberty, and as long as you stay inside the wall, you'll be free, but you get outside the wall, and you'll not be free. My favorite illustration is, I use it often around the country. I was out in Los Angeles, California, and got up one morning early and took a walk, and walking down a neighborhood. I love to walk in Southern California. I love to take a walk in neighborhoods and see the pretty flowers and so forth. And I was walking in the month of April, And I came to a corner lot, and in the backyard, it was a fenced-in backyard, and there's a little Chihuahua dog inside that fence. And outside that fence was a big bulldog. I mean the kind that, you remember the old big, what do you call them? English bulldog. Kind of got a double chin, built like John Penley, you know what I mean? And a great big old heavy thing. That old bulldog was sitting outside that fence, and the little Chihuahua was on the inside. And the little Chihuahua was running up and down, barking, woof, 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 woof. And I stopped and listened to what he said. And he said, woof, woof, I want out. I want out. Woof, woof, let me out. Let me out. I want to be free. Want to be free? Nothing. Brother, his only hope for freedom was inside that wall. Because that bulldog had a napkin around his neck, and it already said grace. And I can hear him now. Woof, 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 woof. Let me out. I want to be free. I want to be free. So some young folks are. I want to be free. I want to be. I've been letting I get out of Hammond Baptist High School. I can be free. I've been letting I get. Woof, 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 woof. Let me out. Let me out. Let me out. I've been letting I get out of Hiles Anderson College. I can be free. Woof, 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 woof. Let me out. Let me out. I've been letting I get old enough to get out of this house. All these rules here at home. Mom and Dad don't love me. I want to be free. Why, you crazy fool, you. If you get outside the walls of rules and standards, you'll be out there easy prey to those things that'll bind you and enslave you and cause you to lose your freedom. The freedom tonight is not in the University of Indiana. The freedom is in Hiles Anderson College. And the freedom tonight is not in the University of Tennessee. It's in Tennessee Temple College. And the freedom is not outside the wall of the rules saying, I want to be free, because God has placed everything outside the wall that will enslave you. So you, woof, 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 I want to get outside the wall and drink my liquor. You get outside the wall and drink your liquor, and the liquor will capture you, and you won't be free anymore. You get outside the wall and smoke your pot, and the pot will make you a slave to it, and you become an addict, and you won't be free anymore. You better hear me. You better hear me well. You better hear me. The freedom is inside the wall of protection. That's what the Bible meant when it said, I will walk in liberty because I keep thy commandments. It does not say I'll walk in liberty if I can quit keeping the commandments. I'll walk in liberty because I keep thy commandments. And that's what's wrong with the Navy, and that's what's wrong with the Army, and that's what's wrong with the Air Force, and that's what's wrong with our state universities. We've just about quit all the rules and standards anymore. We've taken a... Listen, our country tonight, I thank God the Navy is doing something about it. If we do not get a hold to this thing, dope and narcotics will ruin our Army and ruin our Navy and ruin our Air Force and paralyze our right to defend ourselves. We have, listen, the mom and dad who love you enough to make some rules. You get it home by 11 o'clock at night. You get home and this is your rule and this is your rule. They're trying to keep you free. But you poor little ignoramus pipsqueak, you think you know more than mom and dad, and you think you know more than Hammond Baptist Schools, and you think you know more than Hiles Anderson College. I'll guarantee you I get letters every week of my life. Every week of my life I get letters from ex-students at Hiles Anderson College who said, let me be free! Let me be free! And they write me letters and tell me the sordid tales of how they're alcoholics and dope heads and dope fiends, and how they're addicted to narcotics, and how their life is wrecked and ruined. And they say to me, I'd give anything if I could get back within the freedom of Hiles Anderson College again. Ladies and gentlemen, outside rules is slavery. Outside the wall of the rule of rules and standards is addiction and slavery. In God's name, you better thank God if you're fortunate enough to have an old-fashioned mom and dad that makes some rules for you. You better thank God if you're fortunate enough to have an old-fashioned preacher that makes some rules for you. You better thank God if you're fortunate enough to have an old-fashioned school that makes some rules for you. And thanks be to God Almighty, there are still a few places left in America where the leadership loves the fellowship enough to say to the fellowship, we're not going to let you do things that will subject you to that which would enslave you. Now, there is a threefold test concerning these things. The Bible says, Paul said, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, all things are lawful, which means all things are available. You're on the highway of life, and anything you want to do, you have a right to do. You can shoot yourself in the head with a pistol if you want to, get your .22 rifle, and you can shoot yourself and kill yourself if you want to. You can't shoot yourself in the head with .22 rifle, can you, unless you shoot a mirror. But you can kill yourself. You can take poison if you want to. You can take strychnine if you want to. It's lawful. It's there for you. You can do it. But then God says, I want to give you three things that will confine you. This is advice, God is saying. He said, take your choice. Now, let me tell you what to choose. He's saying, it's all yours, but let me tell you what to leave alone, because I'm omniscient. You know what idolatry is in its rankest form? Idolatry in its rankest form is not some Hottentot building a piece of wood and falling down and worshiping it. Idolatry in its rankest form is not somebody, a savage in some jungle somewhere, bowing down and worshiping a piece of metal. Or a lady taking her baby and throwing her baby into the alligator's jaws in the Nile River. Or a mother taking a little child and throwing that child in the burning lap of a Moloch god. That's not idolatry at its worst. Idolatry at its worst is when God tells you in the book what to do and you think it's not good to do it, but you've got more sense than God has, and you know more about your future than God does, and you know what you need more than God does. That's idolatry worse than the pagan throwing her baby in the Nile River. God said, okay, I want to give you three things. Now, all things are available for you, but I want to tell you, give you three rules to go by as you choose which of these all things you take. First, he said, only do that which is expedient. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Now, expediency does not mean what we think expediency means. Expediency does not mean for your own good. It's best for me. Expediency means that you're foot free. It means on the highway, while you're journeying on the highway, hear all these things, all philosophy, all music, all food, all drink, all habits, all art, all literature. It's all available. Now, God said, all is available to you, but God said all is not expedient for you, which means all will not help you to run the race on the highway that God has set before you. So God says, here you have access to all of this if you want to. But he said, my advice to you, as the omniscient God who knows more than you know, my advice to you is only take that which is expedient for you. Anything stops your progress, don't do it. Like a runner. Did you know the Olympic fellow trying out for the Olympics can wear what he wants to? What tries out? You can wear yourself a 44 long overcoat if you want to. So it's lawful. There's no law in this country that says a fellow runs a 100-yard dash can't wear an overcoat. There, if you want to wear it, wear it. But you won't run a good race. Hey, here, if you want to wear tennis shoes, you can wear tennis shoes. Or if you want to wear combat boots to run the race with, you can wear combat boots. You're wear what you want to wear. It's up to you. Choose what you want to wear. But I'll guarantee you one thing, buddy. You're not going to win a race with combat boots on and overcoat on. And God said, okay, you're running a race. You're on the highway. Alongside the highway, they're all things. They're yours. You have access to them. You can take them if you want to. You can take bad. You can take good. You can take right. You can take wrong. You can take life. You can take death. It's all yours. It's all available to you. But God said what you ought to do is lay aside anything and leave aside alone anything that'll keep you from running your race right. And that eliminates liquor. And that eliminates cigarettes. And that eliminates dope. And that eliminates homosexuality. And anything else that is not helpful for you to do the purpose of God for your life, it's wrong to do. Now, God isn't saying you can't do the other. You can if you want to. But God says it's not best. That's what it means in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, you've got a race to run. There's a great grandstand. Folks are watching from heaven. They're watching you run the race. Now, he said, because the grandstand is watching you, he said, if you're going to run the race, lay aside your sin. Ask you a question. If a fellow gets drunk tonight, can he win a 100-yard dash tomorrow morning? No. No. Huh? Fellow goes out tonight, rock and roll all night long, and discos all night long tonight, and runs a race tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Will he win the race? No. Why? Because sin stops his race. I will say this. More than sin stops your race, weights will do the same thing. A fella gets up tomorrow morning and slept all night long, didn't drink, didn't cuss, didn't dance, didn't disco, didn't rock and roll, and goes out and puts some weights on his arms and ties some weights around, chains around his legs, and puts on an overcoat. As far as the race is concerned, the overcoat is just as damaging to the race that he's going to run as the liquor was. Now, God says if you want to, you can take anything. It's all there for you. It's available. All things are yours. All things are lawful. All things are available. Take what you want to take. But God said, in case you want to run the race properly, he said, then you'd better not do anything which is not expedient. There's a second thing he says. He says, all things are lawful. All things are expedient. Then he says, all things are lawful. But he said, I will not be brought under the power of any. Now God said, here you are. Anything you want, here it is. Take it if you want it. If you want to drink poison, go ahead and drink it. If you want to eat rat poison, go ahead and eat some of it. If you want to drink some shoe polish, go ahead. There it is. By the way, I dare you. I double dog dare you. If you don't think it's lawful to drink shoe polish, you go home, drink a bottle tonight, and see if you can't do it. I mean, if you don't think it's available, suicide's available, then go home, get you a gun tonight, put it to your head, and pull the trigger, and see if you want. God is not saying that everything is right. God's not saying everything is right, nothing's wrong. God is saying you have a choice, you're a free moral agent, everything's available. But God said what you better do is you better not take those things that are available to you which will handicap you in the race and will not be expedient for you as you journey toward heaven. And secondly, he said, you should not take those things which control you. Why? That hinders the race. Nothing must master me. I must seek permission of none. So God has placed everything off limits that would enslave me. You know why I wouldn't touch a bottle of whiskey? Last Friday night, my mother was so sick. She didn't know who I was. She didn't know who Earlene was. She was about as sick as you can be and still be alive. And I said, Mother, you know who I am? And she said, you're a daddy. She thought I was my dad. And so she just didn't know anything. And so the nurse said, we've got to get some liquid to her. She's dehydrated. We've got to get some liquid to her. And I said, okay. I said, get her some whiskey. And drink it. And my mother said, I hate that stuff. She said, there's nothing. She could barely talk above a whisper. She didn't know who I was, but she knew she hated whiskey. She said, I hate that stuff. I know what it's done to me and my family. I hate that stuff. She lapsed into normalcy. Now, well, you say, what's wrong with a little bitty martini? Well, honey child, what's wrong with a little rattlesnake? Black widow spiders are not real heavy. And tarantulas are not weightlifters. Paul said, as a soul to spirit, spider, all things are available. There they are. Take it if you want to. If you want to be a fool, take what you shouldn't take. But he said, in case you want the advice of an omniscient, all-wise, all-knowing God, he said, don't take anything that won't boost you along the race. And he said, don't take anything that'll enslave you. That takes care of your narcotic. You know, there's some fools in this world. But I'll tell you, the biggest fool in this world I know is a teenager that'll smoke pot. I don't know anything any crazier than that. I just don't know. Listen, there's nothing that'll enslave you as quickly as narcotics. I know a fellow in Texas. I didn't know him personally, but I know, read about him. He owned a lion. He was a pet lion. And he played with that lion. And the lion would wrestle with him, and there was affection there. The lion never did him any harm. He'd go in the cage. He'd play with the lion. And then one day while they're playing, that lion's paw scratched that man's flesh, and a little blood came out, and that lion licked that blood and got a taste of that blood and rose up and killed that man on the spot. You think you can play with a little pot here and there? You mark it down, buddy. That'll capture you one of these days, and you'll be bound to it. Fellow said the other night to me, I can take my liquor or leave it. Nobody can take it or leave it. If you can take it or leave it, then why do you take it? Paul said, as the Lord led him, he said, all things are lawful. Take what you want to take. You are a free moral agent. But he said, if you want to know what's best for you, he said, you first drive some pickets down in your wall and lay some stones in your wall and only do that which is expedient for your own race to be run properly. And then he said, everything should be off limits that would enslave me. Hear me carefully. The captor, hear me carefully now. Look at me. Folks, decide whether you're going to stay or leave. If you leave, stay outside. There's more walking in and out tonight than I want. I'm talking to you, and I want you to hear me. I've been going to church for 52 years as a boy and as a teenager's man. I've never had to leave church to go to the toilet yet. I never have seen one of these guys up here leave to go to the bathroom with the choir. Now, if they can stay, you can stay. Now, listen to me. The captor uses liberty as his right to steal your liberty. The liquor traffic comes along and says, look, you're free. Do what you will. And you left that crowd, that Ted Kennedy crowd. Boy, I'll tell you, I've got more respect for Rattlesnake than I have for Ted Kennedy. I mean it. Let me tell you something. That crowd says you are free. Do your own thing. They don't think, they don't want to make you free. They want to be kept. Listen, they want to make alcoholics of you. They make their living on that. Old Sam Jones used to say, liquor dealers are like lice. They make their living on the heads of families. Life! Heads of families. What is it? I'm saying the captor uses the leverage of freedom and the veneer of freedom, saying you're free, but he has in mind all the time taking away your freedom. That's the way communism is destroying this country. The Communistic Party has no right to exist in America. None. Oh, you say it's a free country. Everybody has a right to exist. No, they don't. Nope. Freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. No. Everybody hasn't got a right to say everything he wants to say in this country. Nobody who stands up and vows that he is going to steal our freedom has a right to use our freedom to destroy our freedom. It's always the devil's way. Communists haven't gotten the business running for president. Haven't gotten the business being a communist party or be outlawed. Why? Because we know you know. They're trying to destroy our freedom and take away our freedom. And every party in this nation ought to have to sign a statement of faith that they are for freedom if they have a right to exist. But Madeline Murray O'Hare, she's using freedom to take away our freedoms. You'd think she's the only one free. She has no right to use freedom and take away my freedom. If her boy is free not to pray in a public school, my boy is free to pray there. And if they're free in a public school to teach that man came a monkey, and she is a pretty good argument for that philosophy. But if they're free to teach that in a public school, we're free to teach in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. We're free. Nobody has a right to use freedom as a leverage with which to destroy our freedoms. If you think the Communist Party is interested in giving us freedom, you check the countries where they're in control. Leading evangelist went to Russia, came back and said, they have freedom of religion in Russia. They took him down Main Street only. They got a little mock church there. One Baptist church there where they take all the visitors. And said, see there? See there? Take them down to Slobovia. Take them in the back country. And show them the missionaries and Baptist preachers that are rotting in jail at this very minute because they preached the gospel and printed Bibles and had Sunday schools. So the apostle said, and as God led him, everything's yours. All things are yours. All things are lawful. All things are available. But, he said, let me draw a circle around what you shouldn't do. He said, in the first place, you shouldn't do anything that is not expedient. That means that hinders you along the race. Secondly, he said, you shouldn't do anything that'll control you. And then thirdly, he said, all things are lawful to me, but all things edify not. What's that mean? That means all things do not build up others. I'm not to do anything that hurts others, tears down others. That means I'm not to steal. That means I'm not to gossip. 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 That means I'm not to criticize. 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 Because it hurts people. And I'm not to do anything that doesn't build up. God is saying, take your choice. Now, do what you want. All things. Look, here's a Playboy magazine, and here's a Bible. You can have either one you want. Take the one you want. Do you think God's endorsing Playboy? No, God's endorsing the free will of man. Here's strychnine, and here's some 7-grain bread. Make your choice. You think God is saying, blessed be strychnine? Oh, God's not saying that. God is saying, you want to take the strychnine instead of a good meal? Okay, you can do it. But God said, I won't tell you what's best for you. I want to give you my counsel. If you got any sense, you'll take it. It's all yours, but I won't tell you what to leave alone and tell you what to choose. Now listen carefully, I'm through. You say, okay then, preacher. I like your sermon. I'm 15 years old, so all things are lawful. No. Because the Bible says you're supposed to obey your parents. No 15-year-old is free. The other day, Steve Sloan was working. Just the other day, one day. He's working. and he's one of our buildings around here. And he fell through a hole. And he caught himself, but in so doing, he broke an arm. Other folks have done the same thing. Now, you break an arm, you go down to the doctor, he puts that arm in a cast.
and you're not free to move that arm. And you will not be free to move that arm until you are able to move that arm properly. Now, a young person is in a cast. And until you are able to choose properly within these three boundaries, then we have rules that form a cast. You don't smoke any pot and go to Hiles Anderson College. If you do, you're going home. You say, where's my freedom? It's out there in the future. You're in a caste right now. This is the caste system. Here's a guy. His arm is shooting out that way. He's broken here. Hands turned up. So you've ever seen a guy just broken an arm? It's the most strangest looking thing you ever saw in your life. He says, I'm free. I'm free to do what I... Yeah, you're free. You really are. But you're in trouble. And so they do. they make some rules. And you know what a caste is? Nothing more than rules. It's a boundary. That's all it is. A caste is just letting you have not much freedom. You can only move about like that. But when that arm gets to where it'll perform properly on its own, the caste is removed. And that's why we have rules, and that's why we have boundaries. Because we want you to have a life that's happy and full and rich and blessed by God. And so we make a cast. And we put your arm where it ought to be so that you'll get in the hat until you get able to put it yourself where it ought to be. All things are lawful, said our Lord. That means they're available to you. It's up to you. Understand something. I don't understand why you think God's so dumb. Understand that. If God tells you something you ought not to do, then don't do it. We say, so all things are lawful. Yeah, that's right. Strychnine's lawful. Rat poison's lawful. Shooting yourself in the head's lawful. It's available for you. But God says, now that you know all you can do, let me tell you what you ought to do. And boy, I'll tell you what, when God gives me some advice, I'm going to listen to it. You know, man said to me the other night, I said, now, son, this is what you ought to do. I said, I know this is what you ought to do. Now, I won't get mad at you if you don't do it. And he said, well, Hiles, I can't feature myself not taking your advice. He said, I'd be scared to not do what you say. Well, that's pretty smart, but there's something smarter. I'd be scared to death not to do what God says. But I'm so glad, I'm so honored to pastor some 15, 16-year-olds that know more than God. You have no idea what an honor that is. I mean, boy, oh boy, to pastor people as smart as you are, smarter than God. I'll drink my liquor. I'll take my dope. I'll smoke my pot. I'll go to Lover's Lane. I'll break the rules. I know more than God. Boy, I'm so honored to pastor you. How brilliant you are, you ignoramus. All things are lawful. Everything's available. But thank God he didn't stop there. Thank God he said, you're on the highway and everything, all things are on the side of that highway within your reach. So he said, here you are. Take what you wish. But now he said, let me give you some counsel. As the all-knowing, omniscient, all-wise God, let me tell you what I've learned and what I know. Don't do anything or take anything that'll help you into your race. And don't do anything or take anything that could enslave you. And don't do anything or take anything that would not build up somebody else. Father, bless the message tonight to our hearts and help us, oh God, help us to heed your admonition. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in just a moment.